Matthew chapter 13. The message today is about Mary, spoken to and spoken of by our Savior and others. Keep that in mind, Mary, spoken to and spoken of by Jesus and by others. There's so many scriptures I want to read to you, but perhaps I'll just read a few and tell you about the others. But first of all, in Matthew chapter 13, Mary is spoken of and to by angels and by relatives and by neighbors and by enemies and by Jesus. So we're going to see what is the result of all of this. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 54. And our Savior, coming into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus saith unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. And a third thing is in his own kin. I think that's all I'll read for now, and then read you something introductory after we have another word of prayer. Let's speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for this divine-inspired record that you've given us. And we are thankful that you've given us the testimonies, not of one or even two, but of many, concerning what men thought of Jesus and what men thought of Mary and what men thought of the apostles and early Christians as well. We are thankful for this divine record because, our God, let us know that our minds left to themselves would never come up with a correct evaluation. It would either be greater or lesser, but it would not be accurate. But we are thankful, our God, that your word has given us precisely what we should think of all of those of whom thou dost speak in the scriptures. And so we desire to learn what saith the Lord, what saith the scripture this day concerning our Savior and concerning his mother and those others whom we may consider. We thank you that we're able to be here today, our God, and let us know that we would understand if it were lunchtime why we came. Let us at the same time, our Father, come with a spiritual appetite, and let us consider what is said, and let us feast upon it, because your servant of old has said, "I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food." So, our Father, let us feed upon the word of God, and we thank you for the scripture that you've given us for the strengthening of our souls, and we look to thee for blessing this day. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Notice this first of all. I gave you the testimony of our Lord's mother by her neighbors. That's most important. We have different estimates of Mary, the mother of our Lord, and the first one I gave you was what her neighbors thought of her. And concerning her, they simply said this, "Is not his mother Mary?" That's most significant, isn't it? What did the neighbors that lived where Mary and our Savior lived, and his brothers and sisters, what did they think of her? They knew that she was Mary, the wife of Joseph, who lived in Nazareth, who had a son named Jesus, and he had brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and he had sisters as well. What is so remarkable is that this is what the neighbors of Mary thought of Jesus and thought of Mary. Now, I have a paper, and I want to read you. This is what Saint Alfonso Liguori says in a book that he has written in 1852, and this is what he says concerning Mary, and the title of his book is The Glories of Saint Mary. So, listen. This is what he says. Listen carefully. Concerning Mary, he says, "Saint Mary, Queen of Mercy, Mother of all mankind, our life, protectress in death, the hope of all, our only refuge, help, and asylum, the propitiatory of the whole world, the one city of refuge, the comfortress of the whole world, the queen of heaven and hell, the refuge of the unfortunate, our patroness, our protectress from divine justice and from hell and from the devil, the ladder of paradise, the gate of heaven, the mediatrix of all grace, the dispenser of graces, the helper of the redemption, the cooperator in our justification, a tender advocate, omnipotent, the singular refuge of the lost, the great peacemaker, the throne prepared in mercy, the way of salvation, the mediatrix of angels. In short, she is the way, the door, the mediator, the intercessor, the advocate, the redeemer, the savior." Now, is that complimentary enough? This is what Saint Alfonso said, and it has the sanction of the Roman Catholic Church. Now understand this. I am prepared to accept what any Catholic tells me about Mary, or about the Lord Jesus, or about Peter, anything that they tell me from the Word of God. But I challenge you right now, tell me one of these descriptions that Saint Liguori gives of Mary. Tell me one of them that appears in the Word of God. Not one, because I've checked them all. Not one. What does it mean? It means that people can read of a woman and start imagining concerning that woman, and their imagination can grow and grow and grow. But what is wrong is when you start contemplating what the Bible says concerning a person, and you come to a conclusion about that person, you must have what you think of that person corroborated by something else that is stated in the Word of God. And this is what I've found, because I've been reading all about Mary and our Savior for ever so many hours this past week. And this is what I find. I find that if a person looks at exactly what is in the Word of God, he is safe. If he takes one step outside the Word of God, he is in the deepest trouble and will fall into error, and that error can take his eyes off of the Lord Jesus, who is the preeminent one, and can set his eyes upon another of which the Bible speaks nothing. Now, this is what is so sad. I'm speaking of Catholics, and thank God for them. I have some who are neighbors who are Catholics, dear ones, and I thank God for them. But if I challenge them to verify one of the things sanctioned by their church and said, here is your own Douay version of the Bible. Show me one of these references to Mary in your own Bible that is verified by the Holy Scriptures. They will not be able to give me one. Now, this is what is so frightening, and this is what bothers me. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that to judgment. And when I stand before God in judgment, I want to have some foundation upon which to stand. I want to have some hope that I may be admitted into heaven. A hope that is found in the Holy Scriptures. And I have that. If God asks why I should be admitted into heaven, my heart is at peace. I have no doubt that I'm going to be admitted into heaven because I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I know that your Son came into the world to save sinners. His name is Jesus because he shall save us from our sins. He bore my sins in his own body upon the tree. He once suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I can tell God scripture after scripture after scripture, and God will have to say, come in. But now, think, all of those who are praying to Mary, who are burning candles to Mary, and I read you all of the things that are verified by this saint who is written of the glories of Mary. Here is one who stands before God, and this one who stands before God is afraid to mention Jesus, because Jesus is one who is our enemy, who will punish us because of our sins, and we have to have someone that is tender, one who can ingratiate us into his favor, and that one is Mary. And so here is one who wants to get into heaven, and God says, why should I allow you to come into heaven? And then that one says, because Mary is my mediatrix. She is the propitiatory. She is my refuge. She is the ladder to heaven. And do you know what God will tell her? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And that is what is so sad. If there were any hint given in the Bible about someone other than our Savior who could get us into heaven. But this is what the Bible says. There is none other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You search from Matthew to Revelation, and you will never find any source of salvation, any foundation other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And Peter and Mary and all of the others that speak in the Bible tell about the foundation they lay upon this great foundation, because I'm laying a foundation this morning as well. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the foundation. But now I am building a foundation upon that foundation. I am telling you that that foundation, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, indeed is true. And let me tell you of what that foundation is composed. And then I will tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, who from all eternity had glory with his Father, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And I will simply build upon that foundation that has already been laid, because nobody can lay a foundation other than that. And I will not tell you more about our Savior. I will not exalt him higher than God's Word does. And I shall not denigrate our Savior any more than God's Word does. Because I will tell you this, which seems to take away from his glory, as well as exalt our Savior. But our Savior said, "My Father is greater than I." When he was asked, "Give me the privilege of sitting on your right hand and on your left hand," he said, "It is not mine to give." And I'm not going to hide those things from you. Some people would blot them out. Some person, when the Lord Jesus said, "Now of that day or hour knoweth no man, not any angel in heaven, not the Son." Some people would say, "Take that away. Do not tell me that. I'm going to tell you everything that the Bible says about the Lord Jesus." And then I will tell you that since he is God manifest in the flesh, indeed the Father is greater than he. Indeed, there are things that the Lord Jesus, as the man Christ Jesus, does not know. But the Father imparts to him all the knowledge as a man that he needs to know. And as God, he knows all. He is the one who is omniscient. But I see these things and I tell you. But I'm not going to say concerning his humanity that his humanity is deity, because that would be denying what is taught in the Word of God. And at the same time, I'm not going to tell you that the blessed woman among women is more than she is, and I'm not going to tell you that she is less than she is. I'm going to tell you exactly what God's Word says about her. And I will tell you first good things. I will tell you things that are true, and they exalt this woman, and testimony is given to her by angels, by relatives, and also by her neighbors. I gave you the testimony of those that lived in her vicinity. Is not this the son of Mary? His mother is Mary. And so that's what his neighbors thought. But this is what the angel said. When the angel came unto her, he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." Here is a woman who is highly favored. And it says, "You have found grace with God." I can accept that. When it says this woman is highly favored, that is perverted into people believing that she is endued with grace, so much grace that she can take that extra grace that she has and bestow it upon you. But what destroys that is that the identical thing that is said of Mary in Luke is said of all the Christians in Ephesians chapter 1. The identical word in the original that is spoken of Mary is spoken also of every child of God. And so I am highly favored. God's grace is upon me. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And so I would not deny anyone who says Mary has had grace bestowed upon her. Mary is highly favored. I would say, amen, amen. And I would have you to know that every child of God also has had grace bestowed upon him, and he is highly favored, according to what I found in the Word of God. Do not take away from what God says of me, because what he says of me, he also says of Mary. And so, in this sense, we are both endued with grace. We are highly favored. So, do not deny that. Let me tell you this. Mary is blessed among women. Blessed art thou among women. There is no one more blessed than Mary among women. But please notice, she is among women. And being among women, she is different from the Lord Jesus, who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, because she, in her Magnificat, in the poem that she addresses to God, she speaks of God, my Savior. And so Mary says concerning himself that Jesus is my Savior. Elizabeth spoke of the Lord Jesus as being the one to whom Mary gave birth, and the Lord Jesus is the Lord of Elizabeth. This is what God would have us to understand. And I acknowledge that, because the Bible in Psalm 110, quoted by our Lord, says, of whom do the scribes, the teachers, say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say, what think ye of Christ? He said, why, whose son is he? Why, he is the son of David. And the Lord Jesus said, well, why then doth David in the Spirit say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calleth him Lord. How then is he his son? And they were not able to answer that. And so the Lord Jesus is the Lord of David. He is David's Messiah. And also, here is Mary, and she is the mother of the Lord, mother of the promised Messiah, because it says in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And so this is what God says. And this son that she brought forth is the Lord. All right. There's no doubt about that. So the angel acknowledges that she is blessed among women. Her cousin Elizabeth says that she's blessed among women. And it says that God's grace and favor are bestowed upon her. And so indeed she is blessed among women. She is the Virgin Mary. She is the only woman who has ever conceived a child by the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so, yes, she is the only one who ever has conceived a child by the Holy Spirit of God. And so all of these things are thoroughly acknowledged. But what is so sad is this, that all of these descriptions given of by Saint Alonso, what is so sad is not one of them is found in the Word of God. Why did he not mention, and this is what bothers me, why did he not mention one of these things that I read to you that he did say? Why must he go beyond them and not simply tell me what the Bible said concerning her? Because if we knew exactly what the Bible said concerning her and understood what the Bible said concerning her, we would give her that place of prominence among women that she should have. But we would not exalt her as the Queen of Heaven, as the mediatrix, as the one who helps in redemption, and all of these other things said concerning her. And that is why you and I must adhere to what is contained in the Word of God and not take one step beyond it. I see that people will pull down as well as build up, because this is also something that is said indirectly concerning Mary. I wonder what they meant when in John chapter 8, when the Lord Jesus said to those he's talking to, he said, you are of your father the devil. And they said, we have one father, even God. We are not born of fornication. Do you know what they might be saying? They might be saying, we know about you and that Joseph and your mother Mary were not married when your mother was found with child. And do you understand that all of us who do not embrace and believe the Word of God, why, all of these modern critics say, why, of course Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Why, she was found with child before, and some German soldier someone that was not her husband. Why, he is the one who is the father of Jesus. Of course we don't believe all of those things. So do you see what happens when you listen to what people say and their testimony is not from the Word of God? And do you see what happens when men say things and their testimony is not from the Word of God? They can turn Mary into one who is guilty of fornication when they go outside the Bible. And they can turn Mary into the Queen of Heaven, the way, the door, the ladder to paradise. They can make her anything they want to. In exaltation or in denigration, they can do any of those things. So what you have to do is this. You have to adhere to exactly what is said concerning Mary in the Word of God. Now, here is what is so remarkable. Of the things that I've told you that come directly from the Bible, our Savior has it recorded only three times that he ever speaks to his mother. Isn't that remarkable? He speaks to her on record only three times, and then on two other occasions, no less than that, he speaks of his mother. And so he speaks to his mother, and he speaks of his mother. But what is amazing is this. Whenever he speaks to Mary, he never addresses her as his mother. Listen to what he says the three times that he speaks to her. He speaks to her when he's 12 years old, when he's 30 years old, and when he's 33 years old. He speaks to her as a child in Luke 2, at the beginning of his ministry in John 2, and at the end of his ministry in John chapter 19, the only time we have Jesus personally addressing his mother. And this is what he says. So listen. When his mother and Joseph have been seeking him for 3 days when he's 12 years old, and they find him in the temple, she said, "Son, your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Why have you dealt with us this way?" And these are the words of Jesus. He said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Mary says, "Your father, Joseph, your foster father, Joseph, and I sought thee sorrowing." And the Lord Jesus does not even address her at all. He simply says, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? You have spoken about my father, but I am telling you that I must be about my father's business." She was talking about Joseph. Our Savior was speaking about his father in heaven. That is at the age of 12. Now, when he is 30 years of age at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, he and his disciples come, and it may be that they were not expected, and because of that, there is a drain upon all the refreshments that are there. And his mother comes to him and says to Jesus, she says, "They have no wine." And this is what our Savior says. He says, "Woman, what is that to me and thee? Mine hour is not yet come." He speaks to Mary, his mother. He says, "Woman, what is that to you and to me?" What it literally means is this: "Woman, what do we have in common that you should come and address me this way and tell me that I should prepare and provide wine that's run out?" This is the gist of what is suggested in these words. And so the first time he ever addresses her by a title, he simply calls her woman. 3 years later, the Lord Jesus is hanging on the cross, and John, the beloved disciple, is there, and our Savior speaks to John, and he says concerning John and Mary, he says, "Behold thy mother." He tells John that Mary is his mother. And he says to Mary, this is what he says, "Woman, behold thy son." He's telling Mary that John is to take care of her. And he says to John, "Behold thy mother." Now, isn't this remarkable? That three times only our Savior speaks to Mary, and he never addresses her as his mother, even when he's 12 years old. Now, I have no doubt that as a little boy, he would call her mother. His whole life, he would probably call her mother. But once he entered into his ministry, these earthly ties are severed. And from that time forth, he only calls her woman. Let me hasten to add this. When he calls her woman, it is not a title of disrespect, but it is simply a title of a female who brings forth children. The word "eune" probably is derived from the word "genomai," which means to bring forth. And it is applied to any kind of woman who is able to bring forth children. What is interesting is this. In John chapter 4, he is speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria, this woman who's had five husbands, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. He says, "Woman, believe me." The same address that he gave to his mother, he gives to this woman who is living with a man that is not her husband. And also, you'll find that our Savior addresses Mary Magdalene when he's risen from the dead. He says, "Woman." And so here's a woman out of whom was cast seven demons. And you say, "Well, that sounds bad." And I can tell you also in John 8, they bring to him a woman taken in adultery. These are all the same words, but it doesn't mean a thing. It's not a title of disrespect, because it says in John 16, he said, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow." And so he simply speaks of her as a woman. It says, "Blessed art thou among women." And the Lord Jesus says, "Woman," because she is a woman among women. And the Lord Jesus knows how well he knows that they will take this word, "Blessed art thou among women, you are highly favored." They will take those words and exalt them higher than heaven. But the Lord Jesus would give no indication, would give no assistance to anyone who would interpret these words higher than God's Holy Spirit would have us to interpret them. And so if you ask me, who is the most blessed among women? Who is the most unique among women? Until Mary came along, I would say, why, it would be Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who miraculously was able to conceive a child when she was 90 years of age. That is something that I would consider. Or I would say, why, the most remarkable thing is Elizabeth. Why, she was past the time when she could have children, and yet God enabled her to have a child. Now, that is miraculous. But what is unique is this, that Mary, who does not know a man, has not known a man, is with child, and that child is conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And so she is unique among women. God looked upon all the women, sinners saved by grace, because Mary said, "I've rejoiced in God my Savior." And of all these women, he chose Mary because she would be the best. But she's simply the best. She is the most blessed among women because she has been chosen by God to be the mother of the Lord, the promised Messiah, the seed of the woman of Genesis 3:15. And this is what God tells us. And so let us not pull down Mary because others exalt her, and let us not exalt Mary because she is not exalted that way in the Word of God, but let us be sound, and let us call her and think of her the way the Lord Jesus did, and as the angel did, and as Elizabeth did, and as the Word of God would have us to think. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, indeed, this woman who gave birth to our Savior was a virgin. Her conception was of the Holy Spirit of God. Your grace was bestowed upon her. She was highly favored. She was blessed among women. Our God, she was all of that. We thank you for the things that you've told her, and we thank you for Mary, the way that we thank you for the Apostle Paul, and the way that we thank you for Joseph in the Old Testament, all the excellent qualities that are in them. And so we thank you for all the things that she is, and we thank you, Father, that you have told us all the things that she is not. And so let us have a sane and intelligent balance when we are asked, what do you say of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Indeed, she is blessed, and indeed, she was the Virgin. Indeed, she is the Mother of our Lord. We acknowledge all of those things, but no more that is not contained in thy word. We thank you for all that you've told us concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, and he is our Savior, and we thank you. Thou hast said concerning him, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He indeed, Father, is our Lord and our God, and we thank you for him. So let us have an estimate of him and of others as set forth in thy word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over, and I think there is food in the back.